Welcome to our Clothed with the Sun daily podcast, our reading and meditation on the gospel of the day. This is Chuck Colazzi. Today is Monday, April the 22nd, 2024. It is the fourth Monday in the season of Easter, and our reading today is from the gospel according to St. John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." So yesterday, Sunday, was Good Shepherd Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter. And usually Easter, well, the fourth Monday of Easter, we also have a reading about the Good Shepherd. And this is a little different from yesterday, but it's the same sentiment. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. We are the sheep. We are also called to become shepherds after the pattern of the Good Shepherd. But this is interesting. Jesus is talking about good and bad shepherds going in and out of the gate. Well, going in and out. But he says it's only the good ones that enter through the gate. Whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. And Jesus says, "I am the gate." Even though Jesus is the shepherd, today I wanted to focus a little bit on Jesus being the gate. You know, with Vatican II, there is a, should we call it a doctrine, should we call it a teaching, or should we call it just a general mindset that exists in Catholicism? And I agree with this mindset that God will judge us each uniquely, each based on what we've been given. Jesus says, you know, those that will be given more, more will be expected. Those that are given less, less will be expected. You know, so there's this mentality that, okay, there are going to be people who were never evangelized, and they have an opportunity for salvation as well, even though, I mean, there's so many, there's such a wide spectrum, there's so many different categories of people, but regardless of where anyone is coming from, if a person is coming from a place of they've never heard of Jesus, but they did their best to know God, to follow the Lord, etc., still Jesus is the gate. Still Jesus is the Savior. If a Buddhist is saved, it's not because of Buddha. If a Muslim is saved, it's not because of Muhammad. Jesus is the only Savior. So is salvation, and we have to be so careful how we talk about this. It's not that salvation comes through Buddhism or any other type of religion, but rather salvation only comes through Jesus. But can people be saved outside of the church, outside of the sacraments? Any individual person, yes, can be saved based on their conscience before God. But the thing is, like, in talking about, first of all, ecumenism and how we should pray with people of other faiths and we should invite them to be one with us. It's not about us compromising. And through this idea that, yeah, you know, it is possible for a person to be saved even if they weren't baptized per se. And I mean, the church specifically talks about baptism of desire, baptism of blood. There's different types of baptism. Still, what has happened here is that people misinterpreting this, people reading this wrong, hearing this wrong, have interpreted it to mean, and I've even heard bishops say things like this, like it takes away the need to evangelize. And that's not true. That's not what our Lord told us to evangelize everyone, to spread the good news everywhere, that he is the Savior, that we need to come and know him, and we have an obligation to preach Jesus. But there are so many people now that have heard this message that just seems like a watered-down faith, even though that's not what it's meant to be, and they're thinking, well, you know, we'll just find out when we get there. And it doesn't really matter what you believe, as long as you're a good person. And I have to tell you, we must combat this. A friend of mine told me this recently, and I hear it from friends, especially people I went to high school with. A Catholic school, by the way. Well, as long as you're a good person, I'm a good person. And then they use the term moral compass. I have a good moral compass. That's only the only thing necessary. And even people that say, I'm spiritual. I heard a great response to that would be, well, what kind of spirit are you talking about? Because there's good spirits and bad spirits. People that follow witchcraft are also spiritual, but that doesn't mean they're good. That doesn't mean they're going to be saved. See, Christians don't believe. And this is another thing that people still want to use Christianity as a status symbol, because when they were growing up, if you were Christian, you're a good person. You know, if you're Christian, you go to church, et cetera, and people would fight over, even if they didn't go to church, they would argue, oh yeah, I go to church. I go to church all the time. What do you mean by all the time? Once a year, once a month, whatever. And people still talk like that. But the reality is, and this is not about judgment. This is not about me saying, oh, if you don't do what I say, I hate you or you're a bad person or something. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. We have a Savior. His name is Jesus. If I go to heaven, it's because I'm with him. It's not because I had a good moral compass. It's not because I was a good person, quote unquote, whatever that even means. I can never, I'm speaking for myself, I can never be so good that I merit heaven. That's not going to happen, that I merit salvation. I didn't die on a cross. My friends that say I'm a good person, guess what? You didn't die on a cross. And even if you did die on a cross, it wouldn't purchase salvation as when Jesus died on the cross. The God-man, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, coming to earth, taking on all of our sins, never committing a sin himself and dying for the sins of the world. That's the only way to be saved. That's it. So I could go on and on and on about that, but that's the bottom line. All these other things that people say, oh, we'll find out when we get there and I'm a good person, blah, 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 blah. I always want to encourage people to be good people. That's wonderful. You're a good person. That's great. But salvation comes from Jesus. If we've had an opportunity to know Jesus, then we are bound to follow him. If we've had an opportunity to receive the sacraments, then we are bound to receive them. Of course, once again, I mean, I say that as the rule. I don't know what's in people's hearts. You know, someone might have grown up right next door to the Catholic Church, but maybe the priest there molested somebody. I don't know. Maybe one's parents said, oh, those Catholics are no good, and that just became so ingrained in a person that, okay, they weren't able and ready to receive the Catholic faith. So I don't know. I can't judge the individual person. But what I can say is we are held accountable for those things that were offered to us. To those given more, more is expected of them. So I know for me, And this is a general rule, but I am trying to follow this as best I can. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. And what I'm trying to do is follow Jesus, because Jesus is the Savior. And I believe Jesus founded a church and gave us the seven sacraments. So I'm going to make use of that church and those sacraments as much as I possibly can. Once again, I am not perfect at this, and I fail in a lot of ways. And also, Jesus gave us prayer, and he taught us how to pray. In praying Christian prayers, we have access to the Father through the Son. You know, Jewish prayers are amazing too, the Psalms. Now, the Psalms all refer to Jesus ultimately. If we're praying the Psalms, we're also praying in union with the Trinity. We're praying with prayers to the Bible. But it's not quite the same as praying to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. You know, because now Jesus has given us something even greater than what's in the Old Testament. What's in the Old Testament, don't get me wrong, these are great to pray with. All those prayers in there, and I do pray the Liturgy of the Hours, and I pray those Psalms every day, and I love those Psalms, and I get so much peace when I pray those Psalms. But still, there's no greater prayer than the Catholic Mass. There's no greater prayer than using the name of Jesus, than using the Trinitarian formula. Anyway, I wanted to just talk a little bit, and I've already gone a good amount of time here, that salvation, for you and me that know better, salvation, our salvation, praise be to God, God permit, God allow that we all are saved. I pray that every single person is saved. Our salvation will come through Jesus, and to the degree that we know about Jesus, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you know a lot about him. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening. You know at least a little bit about him. And so therefore, your salvation, my salvation, doesn't come from being a good person, although we strive for that. We strive for virtue. And virtue is the word, by the way, not moral compass. I don't know what moral compass is. That's not in the Bible. Virtue, however, means God and me working together. God's grace helping me to be a good person. I'm practicing the virtues of whatever, humility, patience, justice, temperance, fortitude, chastity, etc. I'm trying, and God is giving me his grace to do well, hopefully, and to grow. We grow in virtue. So as we're striving to grow in the virtues, we need God's help, and it's all about Jesus. And so our salvation, your salvation, my salvation, comes from a relationship with Jesus. Now, what is the litmus test of any relationship being good or bad? Well, if I say I have a good friend, or let's just say I have a romantic friend, how do I know I have a good relationship with this person? I might think I'm the best friend in the world, and then you come to find out from my friend, no, he's lousy. I've heard of spouses talk about themselves that way, that one spouse thinks he or she is the greatest spouse ever. Oh, I do this for my spouse and that for my spouse. I bring them breakfast in bed, whatever. And then you hear from the other spouse, yeah, that person really wasn't that great, and they have a lot to work on. And it's good when spouses can talk about these things honestly and say, hey, you know, this is what I need. This is where you're doing well. These are maybe some areas where you could do better. I think about the five love languages and how certain people have certain languages, and that's good to know that and to work on them, but I think we need to be working on all five, and in the same way, we need to be working on these with Jesus. So time spent, affection, I don't know what exactly that means with Almighty God. I mean, when we receive Jesus in communion, that's a form of affection because it has to do with physical contact, right? I mean, there's good deeds done. There's gifts given. How can we give gifts to God? Well, I'm sure we can come up with all sorts of different ways. You know, whether we buy flowers for the Blessed Mother, we give to the poor. I mean, there's a lot of different ways we can give gifts. So there's the giving, and then there's the words of affirmation, and yes, acts of service. So ultimately, prayer. Prayer is how we have a relationship with God, spending time, speaking words. And then, yes, there's also our service. And a litmus test, very often, Pope John Paul gets into this, which is just revolutionary stuff in our Catholic faith. For some reason, for thousands of years, we didn't talk much about the emotions and the feelings and desires. And yet Pope John Paul and certain other phenomenologists of the 20th century spoke about the emotions being important. So what are, I just feel, and I get into this maybe in one-on-one conversations with people in spiritual direction. What are your emotions when you're at Mass, when you're praying the liturgy? Do your emotions enter into that at all? If emotions are entering into this connection with Jesus' cross through the Mass, that's a good sign. Especially when it comes to the seasons. Like, do I get emotional when I'm praying the prayers of Christmas? Thinking about Jesus being born as a baby into our world. Do I get emotional when I think about Mary and all of her mysteries, her Annunciation, the visitation of Elizabeth, the sadness she experienced at losing Jesus in the temple? Do I get emotional at his passion? Can we watch the movie Passion of the Christ and get emotional at that? I'm not saying emotions are necessarily the litmus test, but I think they're a big part of it. We're human beings. God gave us our emotions. Do I get excited about his resurrection? Or is it just a formality like, oh, thank God that mass is over with because that was long? Am I getting excited about Jesus' passion, death, resurrection, his birth, the different feast days, Mary's Immaculate Conception, the different feasts of Mary that are maybe more localized? Like, I mean, I love to go to Spanish celebrations of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and that can be emotional for me. Do I react emotionally to music and God and the church and the life of Christ in movies and TV shows? I'll tell you, when I watch the show The Chosen, I think almost every episode I get choked up when I see Jesus healing people and people coming to know Jesus better. Do I get emotional when I read the Bible, when I listen to music, when I listen to something like K-Love on the radio, or even just listening to really old stuff like Gregorian chant? All these things stir up different emotions in me. Polyphonic music of the Middle Ages. Maybe old-timey kind of hymns from the early 20th century versus newer things. I don't know. Do I get emotional in a negative way when I hear people saying God's name in vain? Does that hurt me to hear that? That's a good sign. When somebody says JC because they're angry, does that hurt? Because that's my Savior's name that you're using in vain. And that should hurt me when people use it the wrong way. So once again, that's a litmus test. Am I spending time with him? Am I getting better connected with him? Am I reacting in my emotions to Jesus the way I react to my family and friends and people that I love? It's very important to think about these things. And even just thinking about the poor, thinking about those that Jesus loved the most, thinking about children. Do I get emotional when I hear about children being killed in the womb? Being killed outside of the womb, being abused in different ways, the sex trafficking of our young people that's going on. Is this stuff that gets me emotional? These are signs that Jesus is my moral compass. Jesus is the gate that I'm trying to get through when I am sharing the same feelings that Jesus has. I mentioned recently a movie that I had seen a couple weeks ago called Time Changer. It was made in 2002. It had a bunch of big names in it, but it was a Christian movie, and it seemed to be pretty low budget, but it had a great message to it. These people go forward in time after having a discussion of good deeds done for Jesus versus just good deeds done. And they're saying how it doesn't make that much of a difference until they see the future and they realize, oh, when you take God out of everything, the good deeds are lacking because there's no more impetus for the good deeds. There's no more motivation. When God is taken out of everything, society falls apart and immorality reigns on every level. And I think about the great reformers of our church, Saint Benedict during the Roman Empire days, when he brought people back to prayer through his monasteries. It wasn't about the monastery, it was about finding a way to make everything focused on Jesus again. St. Teresa of Avila and other great reformers in religious communities. St. Francis of Assisi in his time, breaking away from the standard diocesan type level church and having this religious movement that focused on poverty, it focused on the cross, it focused on serving the poor, and it brought people back to the gospel message. When we bring people back to Jesus and to the gospel message, everything else gets better. Everything else makes more sense. I also think of a recent phenomenon that I think we need to really build on because it's just amazing. It's doing amazing things. It's transforming families and schools and parishes. It's called the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. Now, there's lots of really great things happening nowadays, but this is one really beautiful thing happening in the Catholic Church where it's transformed. It starts with children when they're 3 years old, by the way. And I recommend for adults that do any kind of education with children, whether it be CCD or homeschooling or Catholic schooling, to get trained in this, to learn the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. It comes from a Montessori style of learning very tactile, very, you know, child motivated to some degree, but also just attentiveness to each individual, not just a lecture in a classroom. And this Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, I've talked to so many people where it's transformed their families. It's converted. Little children are working the program, but parents are being converted by it. It unites the families. It transforms schools. It transforms parishes. And this is what we desperately need. And why is it doing this? It's a great program that brings the focus back to Jesus and back to worship. And why we worship and who we worship and how important worship is. So these are just some examples, but this is what needs to happen. Jesus is the gate. Transformation of my life, your life, our families, and our society will happen when we remember that Jesus is the gate. It's not about being a good person, quote unquote, whatever that means. We need to get back to that gate. We need to go through that gate. We need to be led by the Good Shepherd so that you and I can become the shepherds in this world. Once again, simply leading people to Jesus, leading the sheep to graze by receiving the body of Christ in the Eucharist. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is our lesson for today. I know I went long again, but I get fired up about these things. And having talked about the liturgy, I think it was 8 times in a row, all that is still in my mind about how worship has to be central. Our religion is not a religion of ideas. It's not a religion of, well, once we're thinking all the right way, everything will be great. No, it's a religion of relationship, and it involves the soul, and it involves the body. And it involves building these relationships, but first and foremost with Jesus. And through Jesus, and through that grace that he gives us through the Holy Spirit, we are transformed, and then the world around us is transformed. Hope everybody has a great day. God bless you.